Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Is it worth it? I mean, he was a basketball star on top of the world, to drug smuggler, to prisoner. Joining us now is Travis D. Waters. Travis Waters today tours the country as a motivational speaker and a youth counselor. He visits high schools, youth groups, youth rehab facilities, and community organizations, encouraging kids to stay on the straight and narrow. In his compelling memoir, his latest book, The West Coast Kid, My Redemption, Waters chronicles the events that led him from a sure bet college scholarship for basketball to the dangerous world of smuggling for Pablo Escobar's cartel, maybe the worst in the nation, perhaps. Following his arrest, conviction, and prison time, Waters found the determination to rebuild his life and now dedicates it to helping others avoid a similar path. In addition to spending time with his wife and children, Travis Waters coaches and sponsors youth basketball leagues and camps in his hometown in Naples, Florida. Travis Waters, welcome to Life Matters.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you helping me spread the message.
Well, you know what, Travis? I actually appreciate you helping us spread the message that you're trying to spread as well, and that is just don't do it, I guess. Stay away from drugs. Make good decisions.
Yes, it's not worth it.
Apparently not, and that's the message that you're obviously trying to get out to people. A phenomenal book, the name of your book, The West Coast Kid, My Redemption. I'm just going to say this right now, Travis, as soon as I started reading the book, I couldn't put it down. It's very, very compelling, and you have an incredible way of taking the reader inside to all of the events that are unfolding in your life. In prison, I could literally hear the door slamming just reading your book.
Thank you.
So, you know, I want to ask you, we're going to get more into the book in a minute, but, you know, Travis, you played basketball against Deion Sanders.
Yes, he was my high school rival. Him and I were a big rival down here.
Interesting. And Deion already is, Deion went pro in two sports.
Yes.
Baseball and football, right?
Yep. Baseball, football, Hall of Fame. He's, in my opinion, he's the greatest athlete on the planet, I think.
Was he that good of a basketball player as well?
A lot of people don't know that. He was as good in basketball as he was in baseball and football. Yes, he was.
So do you think if he had chosen to go another route, could Deion have probably played pro basketball?
Yes. The Neon Deion name, that came about in basketball. That's how he got that name, Neon Deion. That was
right.
Because of an all-star basketball game against me, yes.
Interesting.
He was good.
You talk about Deion quite a bit in your book, and I know that you're somewhat friendly with Deion and his family. What is Deion the man like?
The way he was with his character in sports, that was all for later on in his life. You know, the prime time,
right.
His image, that was all for the rest of his life. I'm more familiar with his mother. I talked to her, and she's, you know, read the article. She's got the book. He has the book and documentaries also.
Okay.
Deion does a lot of great things for kids also in Texas. His truth programs. He goes back to the community a lot. Very supportive of that.
Wonderful to hear that. I know you've mentioned that you are also close to his mom. You speak about her as well. I don't want to give it away because I think it's kind of a neat surprise ending towards the end of your book. But it does encompass Deion and his mom, and I'm going to leave that for the reader to get the book at the end. You know, what a fitting time maybe to talk about drugs. I mean, in the aftermath of Corey Monteith, you know.
Right, yes.
Dead, a parent of an overdose. What was he, like 32 or 33 years of age?
I think so.
Had the world.
Yep.
Had the world.
Everything.
Everything. And Travis, honestly, you were sort of there, too.
Yes.
As you were approaching your last year of high school with the opportunities, Olympic, the opportunities with pro scholarships. And I want to know, and I'm sure everybody listening does, how does someone who's got it already on top of the world, how do you throw that away and make these bad choices.
You know, I ask myself that all the time, and I see this all the time with celebrities and sports guys. And, it, you know, I guess I had a big head, you know. I had a big head, and it gets to you, the sports fame or success, whatever you're doing, gets to you, and you just think you can take on the world. And I plus, you're influenced by other people, older people and money and stuff like that, and you just, it's downhill from there, you know. You just make one mistake.
Travis, hold that thought.
Okay.
We've got to take this quick commercial break.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll pick it up on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, again, we're talking to Travis Waters. Where Life Matters on 960 The Patriot, coming right back after these messages.
It's you and me and no movie star. What we are is what we are. I'll tell you, sweetheart, that's just enough for me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Travis Waters, a.k.a. the West Coast Kid. Travis Waters today is a youth counselor. He went from being the star high school basketball player with hopes of a college scholarship to ranking associate for Pablo Escobar, one of the most dangerous drug cartels on the planet. And after several years in prison, he rebuilt his life and he dedicated his life to protecting young people from the consequences of involvement with illicit substances. His life will scare you and inspire you. It's all chronicled in his new book, The West Coast Kid, My Redemption. The website is thewestcoastkid.com. So Travis, you, as you said, it was just a stupid decision.
Very stupid. A lot of kids go through that.
You know, when you're talking with kids, and I was asked to ask you this question, when you're talking with parents or with kids, does the word stupid ever come up?
All the time. It's stupid decisions. Kids today doing it. Stupid decisions, following their peers. Listen, you know, being influenced from the older kids they hang around with, and it's none of it's worth it in the end.
So what I'm trying to understand, because you really seem to have the world going fairly well for you, but you do say in your book you were short some credit hours. Was that what threw you back, or was this going to happen whether you were short credit hours or not?
Well, the summer school, I didn't want to go to summer school. And they passed that law in 1985. You miss so many days of graduate, you got to go to summer school no matter what your grades were. And I wasn't going to, I wanted money one way or the other. And I just went down that one wrong road and never looked back.
Okay. So it really was all about the money when you started. Was that it?
Yep.
Okay. So you got all this money, the fast cars,
the toys, the beautiful girls.
And once you get caught up, it's probably hard to get out of
it. I got addicted to smuggling.
Unbelievable.
Putting those night vision goggles on, bringing in my first 10,000-pound load from Columbia to South Florida. It was a rush, and I just get addicted to it.
You know, you said something interesting because you said it was a rush. You got addicted to it. I want to take you back to your basketball days. When you were out on the court playing ball, and fans were chanting your name and cheering, Travis, Travis, how did that feel?
That was, looking back at all that, was the best feeling in the world. That's something that I'll never, that's the best parts of my life. I'll never forget that. And I never had that opportunity in college and playing in front of 75,000, 100,000 people. I was playing in prisons for the prison gangs, forced me to play against new arrivals. And that's the only cheering I had was to 1,800, 1,200, 1,500 inmates cheering for me. And that was my contract there. Never got a multi-million-dollar contract like Dion.
Right.
My contract was sexually assaulted or stabbed if I didn't play and win money for their gangs. And like I said in the book, I got bigger, faster, and stronger. And it just went from there. And I was just going in compounds, being the best athlete on the compound. You know, softball, football, basketball. I hated having that talent. I cried a lot with that talent that was given to me, that I had to be used that way.
You know, the reason I had asked you how it felt on the court, because, and you said it was an incredible adrenaline rush, it was a great feeling, but even as great as that feeling was, you still took the other path.
I took the other path, yes.
So this,
took it all for granted.
And unbelievable. And the reason I'm bringing that
biggest
regret that you had, because there's a young adult who's listening or a parent who's listening and saying, oh, you know, my kid would never... get into that, but I'm sure your family said the same thing about
yes,
you.
I said that. My mother would say that. I came from, you know, my stepfather had a good big business down here in South Florida. He had a great family, giving me everything to sports camps, all the best sporting equipment you could get for sports. I played all three sports growing up. And it happens. Drugs is everywhere. It doesn't discriminate. It's everywhere.
And you're saying these kids will find it if they want to.
Yeah, let's find it. And, you know, a lot of things that I have with speaking to kids in schools, treatment centers, school order centers, drug centers, is the pill problems. It's not just drugs coming from over the border. It's the pill problems here in the United States. It's the main thing.
Travis, right. I want to take you back to some time when you were in prison.
Okay.
And there was a moment that happened to you where you said, if I can get out of here alive.
After one of my beatings in state prison, and I said, if I make it out of here alive, I'll do everything I can so no kid, regardless of race, will have to go through this hell and what I went through. And then now that I got out, newspaper articles came out about me and my life and sports and Dion, and that's when it gave me the opportunity to spread my message and to get the word out there, and I kept to my promise.
So what's your message to parents? I mean, if I'm a parent with kids in junior high or high school, how do I talk to my kids?
Keep them busy. Always keep an eye on them. Also, if they're hanging around different crowds, they're staying up all night, sleeping all day, they avoid eye contact with you, their eating habits have changed, they're losing weight, those are all signs pointing to drug use. And it's one thing's going to lead to another. Like I said, the main thing is your medicine cabinets, too. Start looking there. If you have Xanaxes, Percocets in your cabinets from older folks you have living with you or pain, it's right there.
If parents, and I'm curious, Travis, if parents had a history of drug use when they were younger,
right,
should they be forthcoming with their kids
yes,
and tell
yes.
them? So in other words, would you do the same with your kids?
Yes, I will. I sure will. And my son, he's going on 12. He already knows now, you know, because he sees the papers and stuff down here and hears stuff, and he knows all about it. And I want those kids to say not to, you know, be the West Coast kid, and that's my goal, you know, helping these kids all over the country. And it's working.
Listen, you served 6 years in prison.
6 years and 10 days, state and federal.
Do you think your punishment for drug smuggling was a fair price to pay?
Well, I can tell you what, after the beatings and the sexual assaults, what has happened to me in prison, I know I got my punishment. To this day, I still have nightmares of the past. It never goes away. You can't vote. You can't hunt. If you're a hunter, you can't get a good job. And kids are going to go through all that, you know. And that's another thing I explain to these kids. And it's not just when you get out of prison, your life's back to normal. You suffer the rest of your life. You know, you go fill out an application, the first thing it's going to say on there, you ever been convicted of a felony. And, you know, the way the economy is, you're going to be the last one getting that job if there's 30 applicants going for that job. And you go through that. You know, I have nightmares all the time with that.
And
I wake up hitting the walls and fighting.
And you're saying this is a stigma that stays with you perhaps
the rest of your life.
Yes,
you can never get over that. You know, there's nothing you can do to get over the nightmares. Yeah, that's something that I just deal with.
Now,
even from my father shooting my mother when I was a kid, that's stuff that you deal with the rest of your life.
And you know, it's interesting because you talk about that in your book, and your real dad was very abusive. He had a very tumultuous, and your mother shot him.
Yeah.
He just miraculously lived.
Yeah, six times she shot him.
Unbelievable, and she did go to court, and she was acquitted because in this instance it was self defense.
Right.
Some kids have no dad growing up. Some kids have a father like you did. Some kids, you know, are lucky and they have two really good parents.
Yes.
But this kind of behavior still happens to kids, no matter what that home environment is.
Right. A lot of kids that I speak to can relate to me. They tell me all these stories. They go through that, and I'm an inspiration to them that I survived and I'm still moving on. And they ask me how did I get through it? And you just go. You deal with it. I tell them you will get through it. It will all pass.
Travis, what kind of money were you earning when you were smuggling drugs?
In my cocaine business, when I was 18, just my cocaine business, I was running up north $50,000 to $75,000 a month off that. And then I started smuggling. The load that I got indicted for was $15 million to $18 million. You know, we were subcontractors. We make money bringing the load in, and the owners make majority of the money. We just make money bringing it into the country, getting the truck, shipping it to Miami.
See.
And I was being on the west coast of Florida. And that's how my name came about. I was just a kid. I look back at all that, and I was just a kid. And that's the West Coast Kid came about. And that's what they referred to me, the CIA, the Cubans, the cartels in Colombia, the West Coast Kid, the West Coast of Florida.
So the West Coast Kid was a nickname you received.
I received, yes. And that was my code name from the Cubans, smugglers in Miami, and the overseas in Colombia, and the CIA. They didn't know who the West Coast Kid was. They never figured that out until later on, that it was Travis Waters.
Wow. Can you tell, there's another incident in your book. There was a load that apparently went wrong.
Yeah, that load we were indicted on, 30,000 pounds.
Okay, and that's where this indictment came from. You are, however, the kingpins think it's you.
Right, the kingpins, because we were hired, me and my partner were hired to bring that load in. There was actually, the informants and the government put an extra 10,000 pounds on that load. It was actually, they made it out to a 40,000-pound load to use it for their whatever they wanted to use it for, and then we took the fall for it, because their main goal was to get the Cubans and Pablo Escobar was their main goal, and that was us through us and the Cubans to get to Pablo Escobar and the other countries.
So tell us about that incident now on the airplane, and yep. Then you get a call.
Yeah, I was at a grocery store and got thrown into a van and taken to an airport with a hood over my head, get into the plane with the bodyguards that I've seen before. About 3,500, 4,500 feet over the Gulf of Mexico, the phone rings behind me. Back then, they had the big mobile phones. And it was Pablo Escobar. And he says, do you know who I am? And I said, no, I've heard Juan talk about you. And he told me he wanted his load back. He was going to kill me, torture me and my partner, and want his load back, and the phone would go dead.
And they almost threw you out of the airplane.
Yep, they put me, I write all that in detail. They put me out the door. My legs are hanging out, the gun to the back of my head, saying, We want our load. Here's your last load. You're going swimming. Where's our load? Our lost load. And I said, I get it back. I'll get it back. And they pulled me back in the plane.
Which is amazing. Yeah. And Travis, and you have an interesting style of writing, because, again, reading your book is very easy to read.
Yes.
I think I asked you once earlier on the telephone if you've heard of Scared Straight, because your book, it reminds me of that concept. The way it's written, you just tell it the way it really is.
Well, that was my goal writing it. I wanted it to be a deterrent, and I wrote it from the beginning to the end. I glorified it because, see, when I hear kids tell me and teachers tell me and counselors tell me that kids in their classes, it's the first book they ever read cover to cover, I know that my book, it inspires them to read other books. That's a great satisfaction for me. I wrote it from the beginning to the end because I had to keep it interesting. I couldn't make it just like a textbook. Mm-hmm. So I took the events of my life, what I thought was interesting, that I've been through, like I've had offers to write other books now. But I took the most events that I thought you'd find interesting, the readers and the teens, that I thought was interesting in my life, and put it in a story. Because I didn't want it to be like a textbook, because kids won't read a textbook. They want to read it in a story. And then at the end of the book, was it worth it? And that's the cause of the book. And everybody that's read that book, and it's not worth it at the end. They don't want to be nothing like the West Coast Kid. Kids turn their lives around. They're making A's and B's in schools. They're in sports programs. I get emails from all over the country. Teachers, counselors tell me that, kids. And they thank me for that, you know, sharing my story. And it's a big inspiration. And I don't want kids to get confused of thinking that the West Coast Kid was cool, because I tell them that when I speak to them. I want them to stay out of prisons and stay out of drugs. And my book's doing that, saving lives all over. I never thought my dreams that it'd be so overwhelming like that.
Travis, I'm up against our clock. I've got just about a minute or so left. Where can we get your book, and where can we learn more about Travis Waters?
The West Coast Kid. My website's thewestcoastkid.com. You can go on there and see all the links and newspaper links, documentary stuff that's on there of what I've been doing. The book's available for retail, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, all the online retailers, Books A Million. And I also, you know, I have books on my site. If you bought books on my site, signed books, I'll sign them to your kids, and proceeds go to treatment centers and stuff like that, and the community and sponsors that I do, giving back to kids.
Travis, I want to thank you for spending some time with us tonight. I'm going to tell you something.
Thanks for having me.
You know, you are very welcome. I've got to tell you, I admire what you've made of yourself after what you've been through. I admire what you're now doing and trying to help others,
I try,
Travis.
I try. I kept to my promise.
Phenomenal book. Again, ladies and gentlemen, The West Coast Kid, My Redemption is the name of the book. Travis, thanks again for
visiting
with us.
Thank you so much, Larry. I appreciate it.